Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Monsters Who Murder, Serial Killer Confessions. With Amanda Howard and Robert McKnight.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Monsters Who Murder. As usual, we're joined by the serial killer whisperer, the one and only Amanda Howard. Hello, Amanda.
Hello, Robert. I love doing these on a Sunday morning. We're both sort of sober and, well, one of us is.
Yeah, who's that?
Certainly me.
No, me too. I haven't been drinking.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, not for any particular reason. I just thought... Even though you drive me to drink, I thought I'd take a break.
You got to prep yourself for Christmas.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not a big thing. I still have the occasional drink and everything like that. I'm just not going as big as we might have gone in some of our Patreon group chats. So,
so was there Thirsty Thursday on
Tipsy Thursday? But I was just on the Coca-Cola.
Oh, well done.
Haven't made a big deal of it, just been quietly doing it.
No, I'm sorry if I've made a big deal about it now, but I'm proud of you.
Yeah, well, you have, but you know. But we share on this podcast. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Look, today's is a very big episode. There's a lot to dissect, so there won't be a news section today. So let's get into it. Munchausen's by proxy, or as it is known by its current medical term, factitious disorder imposed on another, FDIA, is a style of abuse where a caregiver, usually a mother, injures or poisons a child to gain sympathy and/or attention. The cases are sometimes only discovered after a child has died for the ongoing suffering, or a criminal case is unearthed and the caregiver arrested for the torture that they have inflicted on their child. This case is different. This case sits in recent history as a beacon to what might occur if that abuse and torture goes unnoticed for almost two decades. This is the case of Gypsy Rose Blanchard and the murder of her mother and tormentor, Dee Dee. But that's only part of the story. Amanda, this is an extremely complex case, so where do we begin?
Well, where this case starts and where this case was going when I first started to script this is two totally different places. So what we're going to do here is just focus on Gypsy and her co-conspirators, Nick's interviews with the police, because we're going to learn a lot that way from the case. And I know there's been films and docos about this case out there, but without looking at these police interviews, they all give this different perspective. So we're actually coming at this at an entirely different way than most people would expect and what we are actually doing, you know, because this is a case that most of the world actually knows about because it was so fantastical when it came out. But everyone's been left, like, confused and angry and just absolutely fascinated by the case. But when you dig down to what we're about to do in here, you're going to actually – start to question all the stories that have been going on.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, to give a little background on the case, the body of Claudine Dee Dee Blanchard was found murdered in her Missouri home on June 14, 2015. She'd been stabbed to death and had died several days before she was found. Police had gone to the home following several strange Facebook posts on Dee Dee's Facebook page. Police, not finding Gypsy Rose, Dee Dee's mentally and physically handicapped daughter, they feared she might have been kidnapped. The day after the discovery of Dee Dee's body, Gypsy Rose was found in the company of her online boyfriend, Nick Godejohn. She confessed to not having any of the disabilities her mother had claimed that she had, and in particular, she could walk. Gypsy and Nick were returned to Missouri, where they were interviewed by police. Amanda, explain what we first see when we're introduced to Gypsy Rose in the interrogation room.
Well, it's quite interesting because the tape of this actually goes for 12 hours, though the actual interview part is only 2 hours of that. What we see is it's the evening before. She's sitting on a long settee lounge. She's quite thin and small for her age. She has short, cropped, dark hair.
How old is she?
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. So let's say she looks about 13 or 14. She's in her 20s. But she sort of sits and plays with this sparkly fish cushion that she had, and she's actually wrapped herself in a blanket, and she spends a lot of time sitting on this lounge with a police officer sitting outside her interview room. Some officers do arrive and they take her from the interview room to the hospital to have her checked over and to go through the medications that she had with her and what she was meant to take.
Right.
They say, look, well, we're going to have to chain you up for this, waist, wrist and ankle irons, and she's fine with that. Everyone she comes in contact with, she calls sir, and her voice is childlike, like we've seen in several other females being interviewed. Her movements when she stands are actually quite stiff and irregular, so she doesn't sort of walk like a normal person because we know that she has been in a wheelchair for many, many years, but she doesn't always use it because when she was at home and no one was around, she would be walking fine. But those first few hours she spends overnight, and there's an officer that sits outside the room and chats to her for that whole night, and that goes for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours that I watched with nothing really happening. But she chats to them quite openly and talks about going to Disneyland and things like this, and how Ham's First Humanity or whatever they're called build them a house and all of this sort of stuff. And she is really quite chatty and friendly, and is very much talking in a way to please the officer. But the way that she talks to these officers was worth watching, purely because when the interviewer comes into the room and talks to her, that it shuts down and goes in a very different way to what the previous officers had done overnight chatting to her. So it's worth seeing that just for that.
Well, as Amanda said, it was in the morning Detective Hancock entered the room and introduced himself.
Hey, Gypsy. This is Stan.
Hi, Gypsy.
Let you guys talk.
I'm Detective Hancock. I'm from the Kent Sheriff's Office.
How are you today?
Good.
Doing all right?
Good. Well, Gypsy, I'm here and I'm going to get a little bit of information from you. So, since this is the first time I've ever met you, okay? So, what is the correct spelling of your first name?
It's GYPSYROSE. And my middle initial is A.
Okay.
And my last name is BLANCHARD.
BLANCHA.
BLANCHARD is Blanchard.
Blanchard. Okay, with an E. Okay. All right. And your date of birth, Gypsy?
Is 7/27/1995. On here they have one because it's a long story, but
okay, sure.
Me and my mother are Hurricane Katrina survivors.
Okay.
And my birth certificate was washed away in Katrina.
Okay.
And unfortunately, they messed up the paperwork, and it said 1991, but it's actually 95.
Okay. And that puts you at how old then?
I would be a really 19, but on here it's my Medicaid. My medical insurance has 23.
Okay. All right. So how old actually are you? Let's get
19.
Okay.
She certainly sounds young, Amanda. You already said she looked like a 13-year-old, but sounds like she's in her 20s. But what's the correct thing here? Was she born in 95, as she claims, or was she born in 91?
See, it's amazing how even when she starts there, she has a story for it. So she claims that she'd been told her entire life that she was born in 95, and sometimes there's other years. But according to her father, she was born in 1991. So she's 4 years older than she actually believes. Now, when I wrote this, I was on her side and thinking, no, she doesn't really know, and this poor girl is 4 years older than she thinks she is, but we will get to that as well. So we just have to then start wondering, how deep is she entrenched in her mother's lies as part of this Munchausen's by proxy? You know, does she not know that she's 23? But we're going to see this time and again that she's actually going to play on this and, oh, you know, the lies seem innocent, oh, that they messed up and, you know, this card says this and my birth certificate says that, but it got washed away in Hurricane Katrina and all of this sort of stuff. But it just shows that this actually lays that solid foundation of the abuse that she suffered and that she was part of that. Yes, she is a victim of Munchausen's by proxy, but there's more to it than this.
Mm. So when did the abuse actually start?
It started when she was about 3 months old. Dee Dee was concerned that she had a sleeping disorder and began having lots of tests done on Gypsy Rose at various hospitals. So, you know, when one would say she's a baby, she's 3 months old, this is what they do, she would go to have the next doctor until someone would do something. And this would perpetuate throughout her entire life, that if one doctor said no or there's nothing wrong with her, she would go to other doctors and they would move cities and towns and locations purely so then all of these records would be lost. And I can actually vouch that people go to doctors and say, oh, well, I've seen these people and they said I've got this and they've said I've got that and they've said I've got this, and the GP writes that down and then that becomes part of that patient's medical history.
Yes,
even if it's not true.
Now see, that's fascinating. Mm-hmm. Because there's no checks and balances. But anyway, let's not focus on that for the moment, because Detective Hancock, after a few pleasantries, gets to the reason why they're there.
Well, Gypsy, we are here investigating something, so I do need to talk with you about some things, okay?
I'm thankful because I have no idea why I'm here.
Okay.
Like, nobody will tell me anything.
Yeah, that's fine, and that's kind of why we're here, to kind of help you out with that, okay? So, I am going to just read Miranda to share real quick, okay? And as I'm reading this, if you don't understand something, I want you to stop me and say that you don't understand, okay? It's not being rude, it's not in fight or anything, okay? And just let me know. How much schooling do you have?
Unfortunately, I was homeschooled, but my education is kind of scattered, so I have the basic of a third grader.
Okay. Do you know how to read and write okay and everything? Okay, good.
Not too much spell, very good, but I can read.
Okay. How would you say your comprehension level is?
Good.
Good. Okay. All right. Okay, you do have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to talk to your lawyer, have your lawyer present with you, or you're being questioned. If you cannot afford to hire a lawyer, one will be appointed to represent before any question if you wish. You can decide at any time to exercise these rights and not answer any questions or make any statements. Do you understand everything that I read you? Okay. Do you have a cell phone number?
No.
No, not at all. Did you have a home phone?
My mom's home
okay.
phone.
Okay, what's that number?
417-833-8501.
Okay. 8501, okay. Do you ever do anything on the computer? Do you ever play games or anything on the computer? Do you ever mess with the computer or anything like that?
I don't really have a computer,
okay.
No.
Did you ever have a cell phone that you played around on or anything like that? No. Okay. No laptop or
Kindle
Fire or anything?
My mom didn't let me use mine because she was like, it's unsafe.
So, oh, really? Why did she feel like that was unsafe?
My mom tended to be overprotective.
Okay. Did she?
Yeah.
All right. That's understandable.
It was interesting the way he read her rights, but she doesn't seem perturbed.
No, she doesn't, because she is a very good liar, you know, and she sort of sits there and takes it in, but she changes from this sweet little innocent smile to a deadpan look, like she almost sort of stops what she's doing, because she had been sweet and cute and everything. She's been told her whole life that she's sweet and cute because she's a victim and she's, you know, a tragedy, and everyone has felt sorry for her. We now have an officer who is starting this story and knows what has happened, knows that she's responsible, and so he's coming at this from a very different area. He is not like everyone else that has ever been around her, who has been gentle and soft and, you know, trying to do everything nice for her because of this poor young girl, you know. But she has already said, in just those few questions that she's already answered, said a million lies. Like, she is, well, not obviously, you know, she said several lies in that. You know, she says that she doesn't go online. That's a lie. She says she doesn't have a mobile phone. That's a lie. Uh-huh. And it's things like this that we're actually going to get to. And it just proves straight off the bat, it just proves how easy it is for her to lie. And no one would pick that up unless they actually knew.
Well, for now, Detective Hancock, he kind of stalls for a moment, but then goes to, I guess he sort of stutters along to get the conversation to where he needs it to be.
I want to tell you that what I've got to talk to you about, if you're involved in this, then you need to tell me that now.
Okay. I'm completely
100%
honest.
Let me talk for just a second, okay? But if you're involved in this, then you need to be honest with me. You need to tell me now and not wait till later. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I want you to understand that there's just some things going on that you need to be made aware of, and I think that you're aware of, okay?
Okay.
All right? My concern at this point, let me back up with something. You're here. Do you know where you're at right now?
Yes.
Okay, where are you at right now?
I'm at the Waukesha Police Department.
Okay. All right, and how did you live in Missouri at one point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how did you get from Missouri to here?
Not but a week ago, it all started when I met my boyfriend, Nick.
Okay.
Okay. And we met on an online dating website. My mom had a laptop, and so I used hers.
Okay.
But
let me back up a second for just a second, okay? Earlier when I said, let's be honest with each other, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you as long as you're honest with me,
okay?
And I want you to understand that your honesty goes a long ways,
mm-hmm.
okay? You don't want something in this nature to be like a big snowball. We'll use that as an example, okay? You don't want that snowball to be so big.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know how when you pack a snowball and it's real small?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when you start rolling it down a hill?
Bigger.
It's bigger, okay? And what happens if you start telling lies? They get big. And you don't remember which ones you said and which ones you told.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as that thing gets so big, it goes down the bottom of the hill and it crashes into a lot of people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
all right? And it hurts a lot of people, right? Because it's so big and crashes and hurts them.
Right.
Now, if you're telling the truth, that's not going to happen, is that right?
Right.
Okay, so that's kind of why I want you to be honest with me about this, okay?
Absolutely.
About some things, all right?
Absolutely.
So we need to... I'm here, okay, because I don't think that this is something that you, the intention wasn't there. You know, I don't think you're a bad person. I really don't. I think that you're a smart person, okay? I think that you, you know, sometimes you get dealt a bad hand, and I think sometimes that's what's happened with you, okay? And I want you to understand that you need to be honest with me, and if you're involved in anything that I'm about ready to tell you, then you need to tell me, okay?
He's a bit all over the place.
I know. This is one of those interviews that is going to be extremely frustrating, especially when we compare it to Nick's interview, which we'll do a bit later. But she's said so many lies and then, you know, oh, I'm a 100% honest person and all of this. You know, he's just sort of laying the groundwork. And I want someone to tell me if rolling a snowball down the hill does do it like it does in the cartoons. I want to know if I saw Snow once when I was 9 and I didn't get to roll a snowball down the hill. I'd love to know if that actually does happen like it does in the cartoons. But anyway, I digress. He is trying to avoid saying what's going on to see if she slips up because he's like, you know, going to talk about the reason you're here and all of this, and she's not giving an inch. She is not saying, you know, oh, funnily enough, why was I arrested 12 hours ago? Like, if someone walked into me and I'd been arrested and I was innocent, the first thing I would say is, why the fuck am I here?
Yeah, 100%.
You know, and then where's my lawyer? People, get a lawyer. none of these interviews have a lawyer in it. Has anyone noticed that?
I know.
You don't talk to police. Anyway, it is interesting that she's just going along
with this. Well, let's not give the serial killers advice. Let's not tell the serial killers they should get police because it makes the police
and
job easier if they don't have a lawyer.
And and our podcasts get a lot shorter if they start lowering up. But anyway, it's what happens. And the fact that she's been there for 12 hours and not said to anyone, can someone ring my mum and tell her I'm here?
Yeah.
Like, none of that has happened in all of these conversations.
Very good point. Well, he does get to the reason on why he is talking to her.
Your mom's dead, okay? Now, what I want to ask you your mom's passed away, okay? And she's deceased, all right? Now, what I want to ask you, did you have involvement in this? Okay. Hang on, listen to me for just a second, okay? I want you to understand something, okay?
Yep.
So he obviously thinks she knows that the mum's dead, because that is not the way you're going to break it to someone, is it?
By the way, your mum's dead,
and I just need to know, da-da-da-da.
But he ran that on a sentence because, like, she's been in custody for 12 hours at this point. She's not asked for her mum, and she's, according to her, a severely disabled child, expecting that her mother to be there with her. She claims to be under 21, so she needs a parent or guardian there. None of during any of this did she ask for her mother to be there. They know that she knows that they know that she knows, you know.
Right.
But you know, first she laughs, oh, ha, ha.
Yeah,
you know, tell me
about that moment, because it's very short, but I want to dissect that moment when she reacts.
It is so amazing because there's an instant response that is very hard to pick up, but there is a tiny gasp in there because she now has to do it the right way. So her first response is, oh, don't be stupid, which was the laugh. And then she goes, no, wait, what? And that is her sort of doing like a triage, basically. She's a triumvirate. She's gone from her first shock of, oh my God, they know, to a laugh saying, oh, don't be silly, to a third of, wait, what? I don't understand what you're saying, you know. Then she actually sits back and she starts to cry and she's shaking her head, you know, as he goes, yeah, she's dead, you know. But he doesn't say how, and she doesn't ask.
Ah.
Because remember, he says, your mum's dead.
That's a very good point. You would ask.
She's been killed. Yeah. Did she have a heart? You know, there's all of those. He chose those words very carefully.
Interesting. Let's see how Detective Hancock goes in this next session, because he's obviously thinking the same, that she should ask about how the mum died. After going through some childlike analogies about lead, pencils and snowballs, he tells Gypsy she needs to tell the truth.
What happened with your mom that night?
I don't know what happened with my mom at all.
Okay, listen to me, okay, sweetheart? You know what happened to your mom, okay? You know exactly. Listen to me. Let's not go down that road of taking your pencil and writing a bunch of mistakes down. And then when you get to a certain point, that paper's gone, and guess what? You can't erase it, can you?
No.
You can't erase it anymore. Do you want that?
No.
I don't think you do. I think you're smart enough to understand where we're at with this, okay? I think you know, okay? And I know that you know, all right? I wouldn't be here if I didn't know. And I know the answer to a lot of these questions, okay? I already know them, okay? I know them, and I'm giving you a chance to be honest with me, okay? Because you don't want this thing to spiral out of control.
No.
Your boyfriend's in here, okay?
Oh, he's here.
He's in here, okay? All right?
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that we've not talked to people?
No, I know.
Listen to me before you say a whole lot. Do not dig yourself in a bunch of lies, because what's going to happen, that snowball's going to get so huge, sweetheart, that it's going to explode on you, and you're never, ever going to dig yourself out of it. Do you understand me?
I understand.
So I want to know, okay, why did you guys hurt your mom? Okay.
We would never.
Sweetheart, look at me. Look at me.
Mm-hmm.
I've got kids. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this for a long time.
I know, sir.
And I want you to understand something. Mm-hmm. Don't dig yourself out. Don't go down that path, okay? Because listen to me for a second. You go down that path, and what's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen if you go down that path? It's not a path to go down.
If anything, I don't tell lies.
I don't tell lies. I mean, geez, that guy loves an analogy, doesn't he? He's not letting go of the pencil and the snowball. But Gypsy said, I don't tell lies.
And her whole life is a lie. She is a compulsive liar because that's the way she has been brought up. She has been told all of these lies. She has been made to believe it. I know there is the whole complexity of Munchausen's by proxy, that she is threatened, she is traumatised, she is told, you sit in that wheelchair and you don't get out of this wheelchair, all of this sort of stuff. In the films on the case, her mum tells her that she's lactose intolerant, and then there's a whole scene where she goes to the kitchen and eats squirty cream and, you know, all this sort of stuff. But at any point she could have stood up. That's one thing. But that, again, is part of a massive complexity of a Munchausen's case. But at the same time, he actually said to her, why did you hurt your mum? And she didn't pick up on that.
Mm.
And when he said, your boyfriend's here, she changed her demeanour again. It's very, very short, but you can see that she now has a get-out-of-jail-free card. She knows that when it comes down to it, she's going to blame him. That she doesn't tell lies, she's a young girl. But, you know, we've talked about that her age is a lie. She knows to give out that whole story about Hurricane Katrina, all of that sort of stuff. But she isn't picking up on the cues that he is allowing her to be shocked and say, oh, my God, who hurt my mum? She didn't pick up on that because she knows. So it wasn't shocking to hear because it's already ingrained as part of her long-term memory now.
Yeah.
So she knows that that's happened. If you were being interviewed, you didn't know what had happened to your mum, and then someone said, why did you hurt her? Your response would say, oh, my God, what happened? You know, and that would be your response. But because she knows, it's not something that would shock her.
Well, in a moment, we're going to hear from Nick, the boyfriend, as we hear his side of the story and Gypsy's side of the story. Monsters Who Murder, Serial Killer Confessions. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And Rob and Robbo. It's the most talked about TV show that's not on TV.
And I think you guys are amazing.
With raw, honest opinions.
This was not a mistake. This was a lie.
Exclusive stories.
Some industry insiders have been talking about this.
Is that a Ben Robin Robbo exclusive?
And plenty of famous faces.
I'm not wasting these gold moments on 60 Minutes.
The Ben Robin Robbo Show is the new way to stream your news.
This is the stuff that headlines are made of.
Live every Monday to Thursday at 1 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on Ticker TV or Facebook and Twitter at BRR Show. Watch live or on demand.
It's the Ben Robin Robbo, Ben Robin Robbo, Ben Robin Robbo Show.
Okay, Amanda, let's continue.
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
Mm-hmm.
I've got kids. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this for a long time.
I know, sir.
And I want you to understand something.
Mm-hmm.
Don't dig yourself out. Don't go down that path, okay? Because listen to me for a second. You go down that path, and what's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen if you go down that path? It's not a path to go down.
This is a long way. I don't tell lies.
Okay, then don't sit here and lie to me, because if you do, what's going to happen is it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. You're not going to remember the ones that you've told other people, okay? The other people that I've probably already talked to. You understand that?
I understand. Okay.
Why? Why?
Would you like me to start from the beginning?
I only want you to start from the beginning, but I want, we'll talk about that here in a minute. And I'm glad you're making that progress, okay? I'm proud of you for that. But the first thing that we need to get out of the way right now is why. That's the biggest thing. You've got friends that love you.
Of course I know.
You and your mom have friends that care for you.
I know.
They're down there down the bottom of the hill with that snowball, and they're asking all these questions. They're asking why.
I know.
Now, help me give them an answer as to why. Okay? You have to give me an answer as to why, because they are so concerned about you.
I know. I have a lot of friends in Missouri. I know that.
Okay.
And I would never hurt my mom.
Okay, sweetheart. Do you really want to dig yourself? You're digging yourself deeper. Okay?
No, seriously, I would never hurt her.
Listen to me, okay? I don't play around with that, okay? I'm not going to play around with this, okay?
Sir, I didn't do
anything. Listen to me. Don't let that snowball get bigger, because that's what you're doing right now, okay? You have a chance. You have the opportunity right here and right now. Because once I walk out that door and that opportunity's gone, guess what? It's gone. It's just like when that paper's taken away, when you're writing that pencil, you don't have a chance to erase that mistake, okay? You need to, in your family, in your friends, and you don't have very many family members, but you've got a lot of friends. And we've talked to them all, okay? And every one of them want to know why. That's all they want to know. They know they still love you. They still care about you. Listen to me for just a second, okay? All they want to know is why. And I have to give that to them, because they can't sleep at night. Because they want to know why. That's all they want to know. Okay? That's all they're looking at.
Sir, I have a million questions right now.
Okay. And you know what? And I'm proud of you for wanting to ask those million questions. And you know what? We can answer those, okay?
Okay.
But we got to get down to the bottom of why.
Okay.
The why. And your friends are very, very concerned about you. They all love you. But guess what?
Sure.
Those friends are standing at the bottom of that hill.
I understand.
And that snowball is getting ready to crush them, because
things very, very clearly. You think that it's me? Why would you think that it's me? I have always loved my mom. My mom and I are best friends.
Listen to me. Please don't dig yourself in this hole. And that's what you're doing. You're still doing it. Okay? Do you not think that we've already talked to some people? Okay? Do you not think that we've talked to everybody? I mean, I'm not going to come in here without having all my things in line. Okay? I want you to understand that.
Of course, okay? I understand that.
And we need to get to the why. When we get to the why, then all these other questions I can answer for you, and we can move on with this. Okay? And you're the person that knows the why. You're the only person that knows the why. Okay? And that's where we're at with it. You're the only one that knows the why, and your friends.
Sir.
Do you really want to disappoint your friends?
No, of course not.
Okay, then why?
May I please speak?
Well, when we get to the why this happened.
I don't even really know what happened.
It would be good if he allowed her to speak. Why is he so focused on why and not letting her speak? Surely if she speaks, she's going to stuff up. The more she speaks, there's an opportunity of a slip-up. The less she speaks and he does all the talking, she can keep thinking about her answers.
Yeah, exactly. This is one of those interviews that is, you just scream, shut up. We've heard about the snowball. We've heard about the lead pencil. I actually took out so much of this because it goes on and on and on. And I'm like, oh, my God, you're asking a question, but you're not letting her answer. You know,
I have to say, Amanda, if I was in that interview room and he was going on about that lead pencil, if there was a lead pencil, I'd be stabbing it through his neck, you know. Shut up about the lead pencil.
Yeah, it's very frustrating.
I'm kidding, by the way, people.
Yeah. They don't know why. And, yes, we're seeing this in hindsight. They know that she was in a wheelchair and doesn't need one. So they're aware that there is something hokey going on here. But this is her also her opportunity to come out as the victim. She could have spoken and said, this is why it happened.
Yes,
yes, it's tough because then she is confessing to killing her mother in cold blood. But, you know, but we're dealing with a woman who's been told that she's a child. So for him to go at her like that, she's not going to be combative. I mean, she is trying to speak, you know, and she has been doing a performance like this her entire life, you know, but he needs to allow her to perform. He needs to let her get out her long embellished story about how amazing life is and how much she loves her mum and they went to Disneyland and stuff. They need to let her do this, and he's not, you know, and it's just so incredible that he's just so cold and angry and going at him, you know, whereas Nick, go to John, gets a gentle female detective.
Well, let's have a listen to that. This is the moment Nick Goldajohn's interview began. Compare the pair.
Hello.
You've been here a long time waiting on me to get here?
Oh my gosh, have I ever been.
I tried to get here as fast as I could. Are you tired?
I stayed awake the entire time.
Okay. Well, I'm going to talk to you, and I guess you said you wanted to talk to me, so
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, I'm sure you have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
You probably want to know what's going on with Gypsy.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to answer your questions for you. Did you get something to eat?
No, they offered that to me.
But you didn't eat?
I ate something before that.
Okay, what did you eat?
They're called ham sandwiches. I guess they offer that with mayonnaise as well.
Oh, do you like mayonnaise?
Well, I don't like them with bologna though, so that's just the mayonnaise, but not when I just left alone because I've been like so worried sick about Gypsy.
Okay, we're going to talk about Gypsy.
Yeah.
We'll talk about Gypsy, okay?
Okay.
Because I know you got a lot of questions, and I want to answer your questions, and I want to talk to you and see what's going on.
Okay.
Before I do, I'm going to read you your Miranda rights. Have you ever been read your Miranda rights before?
That sounds familiar.
Sometimes they do it on TV, but the way I do it, it's going to be a little different than probably what you've seen on TV, but it's probably about the same. Okay.
All right.
Talk about chalk and cheese. Why have they chosen these two styles, hard on Gypsy but soft on Nick?
Well, in my script I wrote, I have no idea, because it has been something that it confuses me that they went this way, because it would have been more important for Gypsy to talk to a female, I think, you know, totally opposite to what we saw with the Jodi Arias tapes, is that she needed a man to talk to her, that I would have expected them to have this girl who appears to be God knows what age, mental deficiency. She actually said during one of these takes earlier that she has a third grade level education, you know, so you would think that bringing in a maternal-like detective would have worked better, but they've actually gone the opposite
point,
way.
Now, at this point, they didn't know she was a victim of Munchausen's by proxy,
no,
did they?
No, but they did know that she could walk even though there was a wheelchair. So they know that there's something going on there. But at the same time, if they think that she has killed her mother in cold blood, bringing in a female might actually sort of become a trigger that will shut her down. So that's the only thing I can come with why they did it this way. But for Nick, going softly, it actually works. And he actually opens up quite quickly. And so it works for this side of the interview. But for Gypsy with Hancock going so hard, it went.
Maybe
in
they
a
were
totally
trying the father figure approach,
well,
and the mothering
have the father
approach.
Figure
yes,
at
but
all.
Did, maybe
yeah.
they didn't think about that. They
no.
just, I don't know either.
Yeah. It's just really confusing that it is so different. If it was two cops going at one person, like we saw in the Urias tapes, I would totally get it. But doing these interviews the way they have, it's quite perplexing.
Well, maybe they just. It's the different styles of each police officer.
Yeah.
Might be as simple as that. Hey, look, we've introduced Nick into the mix. Let's compare their confessions. First, we've got Gypsy.
I don't even really know what happened. I came here because my mother kicked me out of my house. She and I were having relationship problems. I guess she wanted me to stay a little girl forever. She didn't really like my boyfriend. And she was like, pretty much, if you want to move to Wisconsin with him, fine, go. And protect myself. She basically wanted me out of the house before then because we kept on having arguments, but I'm not a violent person. I would never, ever hurt her. And a lot of our arguments stemmed from being with Nick. And so I just basically chose to come here. I gave him money to come here. And I said, can you please come pick me up? Because my mom's kicking me out of the house real soon. And that's when he asked his mom, could I stay with his mom and him and his stepdad and his little brother? His mom said, fine. So anyway, I don't exactly know the exact date he came to Springfield, but I know that I gave him the money to stay at a hotel. And anyway, I let him know that...
Hey, hang on. Okay.
And now he's Nick's.
And then what happens?
And then I realize it's her, so I'm like, okay, I guess I open my door back up. And then I, because apparently she packed because she knew her mom was going to kick her out.
Okay.
And I had to bring all of her clothes and everything else back into my hotel room, so this way she had somewhere to put it.
Okay.
Okay. So their stories are lining up. DD didn't like Nick and kicked Gypsy Rose out of the house. And they were going back to Nick's home eventually, Amanda.
Yeah, but did you notice that she says that she's not a violent person?
I did notice that.
Yeah.
Now I saw the smile on your face too.
Detective Hancock had said that DD is dead. He did sort of allude very briefly, which she missed, saying that you were responsible, but he had definitely not said she'd been killed.
So this is our first gotcha moment, as you like calling them.
Yeah, it is. So this is what I love most. I love these slips that they don't even recognise that they've done it. But Hancock had chosen his words about her death so this can happen.
Right. So let's go back and listen to how Hancock described DD's death. This is important.
Your mom's dead, okay? Now, what I want to ask you your mom's passed away, okay? And she's deceased, all right?
Yes, at no point did he say that she was murdered, but she's saying she's not a violent person.
Mm-hmm. So she knows what's happened, and this is those slips. This is why he needs to let her talk, is because when she does, this is what we get out of it, is these, because she's not smart enough to play against him. He really just needs to let her talk.
All right, let's say the detective had a plan here. His plan to basically keep talking for the first part of this interrogation as a way of disarming her and confusing her? Because if she's gone into that room and come up with all the ideas of how she wants to present herself, does that then help him if he's confusing her and not giving her the chance to, you know, it's like those 911 calls we've heard where they just want to read it off a sheet of paper and don't want any interruptions because they've set their narrative. Is this his way of destroying her thought process on the narrative?
Well, yes and no. Yes, because it is. Because as we can see, he's going, why? And she's going, will you please let me speak? And he's sort of going at her. Absolutely. Yeah. That's definitely part of it, except that he doesn't stop it. That's right. The only issue. This continues throughout the interview. But, yeah, he really railroads her into talking about basically that 1 hour, not the 23 years of abuse, not the relationship with Nick, none of the other stuff outside. He is focused on this part of the case, whereas the case is, you know, a million times bigger.
Yeah, well, as we now know, of course, Hancock returns to the discussion of why, and Gypsy brings Nick into the picture. And here she starts the blame game.
I do have a phone, but it doesn't call people. I just basically used it for Yahoo messaging app. And one of the people that had texted me, I had texted him that I was leaving home. And he texted me and he's like, are you okay? People have been posting some stuff on Facebook and I asked him what post. And unfortunately, the police came before I could even read what he was saying. So I guess he was trying to tell me something.
Okay. Do you see that's what your friends, all your friends are wondering why? Mm-hmm. Even that friend that you're talking about is wondering why.
Interesting, she doesn't even mention Nick by name.
No, and the police officer doesn't either. He even just said, and that friend that you're talking about, you know, this is him seeing what she's going to do, and she's distancing herself from him by not using his name. You know, she is about to play the whole blame game, and that this is all his doing and his plans, you know, and now she's already spoken now about this mobile phone that she's never used because she's never allowed to have one. Yes, it doesn't ring out or something, but I don't believe that either. You know, but she had a mobile phone that was actually given to her by a neighbour, apparently. So, you know, it's just when she does talk, she's, you know, she's given herself enough rope.
Mm. Well, let's listen to Nick talking about Gypsy.
Do you want to do the right thing by Gypsy if you love her?
No, the truth is I worship her. So
I know you
do. There's no way I wouldn't do it on her.
I know.
I think for her.
I know you do. I believe you do.
Now, this is certainly a very different aspect to this now, Amanda. This is going down a different path than what you expected.
It is, and you know, and we've seen all of the media interviews and the hype about Munchausen's, but this is why we focus on the police investigations and not the media beat-ups. This is where we get to that different side. You know, it may not be the truth and it may not be right, but we can see something different in these interrogations, and they're actually about to split and go in very different directions. And, you know, Nick is absolutely totally in love with Gypsy, and he would do anything for her, and literally says later that he would kill just for her and nobody else, that she is the one for him. And she's talking about, oh, and I had this friend that I was texting.
Mm.
Mm. Very, very different.
Well, if you'd like to hear how these interviews go down in different parts, you'll have to join us for part two of this really insightful and fascinating police interrogation of two people. And if you want early access, you better become a Patreon member at patreon.com/MWMconfessions. New episodes go up there a week earlier than the free feed. Hey, we really appreciate your support. Go to patreon.com/MWMconfessions. Amanda, I'm eager to get to next week. I can't wait. This has hooked me in, I've got to tell you.
And, guys, Robert is literally rubbing his hands together.
I literally was.
He is so embroiled in this already, and it's going to go to a totally different place to what you think it's going to, guys. Don't believe the media. Don't believe the movies. We've got their voices here.
Well, don't believe them, but believe the serial killer whisperer who'll be back next week to bring you the truth and nothing but the truth. We'll
Absolutely.
See you next week.
See you guys.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.